Now's the time when we have imported our speaker. What time we imported him from Iraq? This time, I don't know where we imported him from. North County, probably?
Beach, yeah.
Beach.
The beach. But this young man is very trained in the Bible. He studied it. He didn't just lightly read it. He went to school to learn about it. But I think that most of his learning came from after he left college and put to use what he had learned in college and kind of found out what his pathway is instead of as to what he was told it was. Am I right?
Yeah.
He has worked and sampled his pathway. And as most of you know, I think a good many of you were there the night he talked about his trip to Iraq. Mm-hmm. The way I describe it is he woke up in Hussein's, well, I was going to say bedroom, but palace. He woke up in the palace, Hussein's palace. So he went there because he wanted to see what his truth would be out of it. So I believe if I could describe this young man, I'd say that he finds his truth, whether it's from the Bible, Iraq, or life. And I think he's doing a pretty good job, and I'm not sure what he's going to share with us tonight, but I just about guarantee we'll like it. If I could get this to work, I might even record it for you, Danny. But you come up and I'll go ahead and get started, all right? And I'll work on this.
She tells that story a lot. And
I like that story. I can't say that about any of the rest of you. Who woke up in Hussein's cabin?
Millie, how'd you?
With all the Marines.
Millie, how'd you know this is bedroom?
I wasn't there, but I'm psycho.
Psycho. Psycho.
I always wonder what I'm going to say to top that, you know, what an introduction. What are you going to say? But to give you, I'll share the story so you really know what the truth was. Is I went over there on a with a group of journalists back in 06, and we'd been traveling for about 3 days, and we ended up in the green zone, which they actually just turned back over to the Iraqis this month, is the security situation has improved. And Saddam Hussein built 70 some odd palaces while his people starved, literally, while they starved to death. And they used them in the early days of the liberation and the war to take Saddam Hussein out for forward operating bases. And so after traveling for 3 days, they knew that some of us were just exhausted. And so it was the middle of we were going to lay down for like a couple of minutes. They had this giant room with really tall ceilings. It was all marble, and it was quite a deal. And I remember waking up, and I don't know how long I'd been asleep, but you know when you wake up and you're kind of disoriented? And I looked around, and I thought, holy cat, I'm someplace. And then I realized I was in Saddam Hussein's, one of his palaces. And the story was it was a palace, it was in Baghdad, that he built for one of his mistresses. And but they had tons of them. It was just an amazing story in that regard. But at any rate, I want to share with you tonight, as we go into the new years, six things that you can take with you into the new year, hopefully very practical tips, so that your life can be the most you can be all that you were meant to be. And I just know that there's somebody in here tonight that this is going to affect. That's hard for me to say because, you know, you're going to say something that's really important. But the truth is, there's somebody in here, and maybe more than one, that one of these points, it's going to really affect you. It's going to change your life. And so I really want you to pay attention because I know that when I talk to you and I point my finger out at you, there's one finger going out and there's three fingers coming back to me. Okay, so that's where my ego is. I look in the mirror, and that's why these things come to me, because I'm looking at myself as I go into the new year on, you know, how do I approach this year? So tip number one, as you go into the new year, I want you to go in with very strong mental discipline, okay? Mental discipline. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians made a very, very interesting statement. He said, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, breaking down strongholds. And if you think about it, as you go into the new year, it's your thoughts that you allow in your world that's going to propel you forward, or it's going to propel you backwards. So take every one of your thoughts and with discipline, take it under the obedience to Christ. And we'll go into that a little bit more. You know, Jesus made an interesting comment. He said, as a man thinks, so is he. And you know, there's some people in here that are thinking things about themselves that somebody else said. You're thinking about what somebody said about you last year. Maybe it's a parent, a spouse, a brother, a sister, a boss, a neighbor, whoever it is, that said something about you, a narrative, and they're making the narrative about you. And the reality is that you need to think your own thoughts. Forget about the narrative that other people put on you. Does that resonate a little bit? And I think to myself, you know, as I think, so am I. And I know there's some people that, myself included, you know, you go through these times of being down and kind of the self-image thing and think, oh, God, I fail. I did that and I did this. And I'm looking in the rear view mirror, and what Christ is saying is look forward. Look through the front windshield and don't look through the rear view mirror, because life is in front of you. It's not in back of you. Okay? So that's the first tip, mental discipline. The second tip is that the past doesn't equal the future. Some of you may have had really good years last year. Really excellent years. You know, real estate, well, was maybe it was the year before, but there was a period where people were doing really good, and man, they were feeling strong. But you know what? That doesn't mean that this year is going to be good if you look at the narrative of last year. On the same note, if you had a really bad year, it doesn't mean that this coming year is going to be a bad year. So, forward. The past doesn't equal the future. Every day is a new day. And that's kind of the magic, or the supernatural magic of having a relationship with God and having that dynamic, that thing inside. And I stumble with the words, because I know we come from different traditions. You know, some of us, we say spirit, and you know, I come from a Christian, and I say Jesus. And that's the connection. But that word, that power that lives inside of you, that energy, it's in the present. And you'll never live tomorrow again. You'll just never live. And you know what? You'll never live yesterday again. You can only be right here, right now. So the past doesn't equal the future. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5:17, he says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, or she. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And you notice there's an interesting phrase there, in Christ. When we were singing that song, I Saw the Light, and it struck me. It says, I wandered so aimlessly, life filled with sin or separation. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And I think there's some people that we go through the spiritual motions, and we kind of have this thing, and we keep Christ out here. And Christ is saying, let me be in. Open up the heart. It's that transparency thing. Because you can't hide from them. You think you're going to have, you know, I do the same thing. okay, I'm going to have this thing, and this is my private little room, and God, this is, don't come into this room of my life. Yeah, just don't hang out with me there. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Forget about it. He knows. Your life is going to be so much better, and so is mine, if we open our hearts to Jesus. That's what he came to the earth for. He came to build a bridge back to God. And we have to open our hearts. If we don't open our hearts to allow that dynamic, to allow the Holy Spirit in, we're missing the boat. We miss the power that he wants to infuse through us. So the past doesn't equal the future. The third note, third tip is, and I love this because Millie says this a lot, is watch your language. Just watch what you say. And what I mean by that is so many times we become self-defeated in life because we use these phrases, I'll try, maybe, I can't do it. You know what? If you say you can't do it, you probably won't do it. And so let me just infuse in your thinking here is that as you focus on a project and a direction in your life, that you put your intention in front of you, that you visualize the end, begin with the end in mind, and if you feel like you can't do it, because we all go, oh God, I can't do that. When I started this documentary and I thought I wanted to do this thing in Iraq, I hardly knew where it was on the map. I didn't, in camera, I got asked supernaturally to go on this trip. And I said, well, you know, what kind of budget and what kind of crew can we have? No, no, buddy. You pay your own way and you bring your own camera. And I thought, holy shoot, I barely knew how to push the button on the camera. That's a true story. And so I went, you know, the big time documentary guys, they've got all these cases and sound guys and lighting guys and all this. And I've got this little travel on, you know, when you go through the airport, kind of rolls behind you. I put a camera and a bunch of stuff in there. And I went over there and I basically pushed the button. I didn't know where I was going to go, but I put the intention in front of me and I had to take the first step forward. They say that if you're going to take a journey of 1,000 miles, it always starts with the first step. And then what? The second step and the third step. And as you go through each of those doors, guess what? Other doors present themselves. So when you say, I can't, all of a sudden, you can't even get through the first door, so you're not going to get to the end. And so I would just suggest to you that if you have that fear about, you know, you get this burning desire that says, yeah, I want to do this thing, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, no, I can't do it, that you stop and you don't worry so much about the steps in between. You look at where you want to go. Get your destination in mind. Focus on it, create your intention in your heart, and then take the first step. And if you have that, oh, I just can't do it, stop. And when you talk to people, say, you know what? My intention is this. Or if you're really like freaked out, say, you know, I'm figuring this thing out. Because it's a forward motion. Your language kind of creates your own steps. Because if you're only going to try, you're giving yourself your permission to fail right out of the gate. So put your intention and think of the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And put your intention and focus before you take the journey. And then the fourth tip is you go into the year. And I like this one. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. When you open up your heart and you give your, when you really give your life to God for service, remember that you're a child of the Most High God. You know, there's a verse, I think it's in the book of Hebrews, and it says, we walk boldly into the presence. We walk boldly and we make our request. And the picture is of like this big Saddam Hussein's castle. And you can only imagine the emperor, the king, the big shot, the guy that, the king. And you can only imagine his kids running in with all of his sentries in place and whatnot. He's got access. He can go in and he say, Dad, I want to do this thing. He's not ashamed. He has access to the Most High power. And every one of you and myself, we have that access. And if we would just continue to keep in mind who we are, I think you'll find that magical things will begin to happen. And you know the whole narrative that we hear in our society, you're less than. You know, you're not enough. You don't have enough money. You don't drive the right car. You didn't go to the right schools. You're just not enough. Wrong narrative. The narrative is you're a child of God. The narrative is that he's got a plan for each and every one of us that's a unique plan. I don't have to be like you. You don't have to be like me. And God forbid none of us have to be like Millie because we couldn't get there. I just love Millie. In Romans, there's a really neat verse. It says, it's the term Abba, Father, and it's Daddy, Daddy. It's the most intimate of terms used for our relationship with Christ, with God. Abba, Father. And think about how wonderful that is, that when you get in that deep, quiet spot, that you can have that intimate kind of relationship where you're totally accepted, where you can say stupid things. Have you ever said a stupid thing to God? You know what I'm saying? It's like, and all of a sudden you're, oh, this is really stupid. It's okay, because it's your Father. You're a child of the living God. And so just remember who you are. In 1 John, there's a really neat verse. It says, for as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. In 1 John, I think it is. And the notion is that you have to receive him. You can't do this thing. Sometimes, and me too, one finger out, three back, it's like, ugh, I can't let God in that area of my life. It's like he's surprised. You know, in all of human history, he's surprised. No, he's not. So for as many as receive him, he gives them the right, the empowerment to become children of God. It's a fantastic gift. And, you know, you really can't earn it. It's an act of the will to open up. Okay, so remember who you are. And then, the fifth point is remember your purpose. I think there's so many people in modern pop culture that, you know, it's kind of the successful gurus, and it's all about money, and it's all about the accumulation of wealth and these sorts of things. And there's nothing wrong with money or wealth, but here's the thing. You're supposed to be a river, not a dam. If you're asking God for a bunch of dough, be a river. Because if you want to continue to build it and hold it to yourself, you're going to dam up and you're going to stink. It's going to be putrid. But, you know, by the rivers of living water, it's fresh and it's open, and you bless other people. What you do in your life is about blessing other people. Isaiah said that you'll be the light to many nations. Jesus said you are the light of the world. It's this idea that our lives are supposed to affect other people in a positive way, in a practical way. Book of Ephesians, I think it is. I like the Apostle Paul a lot. He says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth except that word which is good for edification, so that the hearer may receive grace. And the word edifice is the idea of a building. You're building a building. And every word that you speak to people around you, it's like you're putting a little brick in their building. It's an opportunity to do something to build them up, not to tear them down. And you know how many people in this world, again, you're not enough, your narrative, it's kind of a negative sort of thing. And I love the story, I've shared it before, of the guy that's walking down the street, and there's a giant building project, and one bricklayer is working, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he looks up, and he's kind of sweaty. He says, I'm laying these bricks." And he walks down the way, and he sees another guy, and he's doing the same thing, but he's whistling. And he's happy, and you can tell he's just really excited. And he says, "What are you doing?" And he looks at him, and he says, "I am building the Sistine Chapel." Now, isn't that a great shift in your perspective? And when you think about it, all the people that come into your world, you have the ability to put a brick in their Sistine Chapel. You have the ability to affect the way their life is by what you say to them, by how you build them up. And so, be a river, not a dam. Think in terms of service. Money's fine, you know, all the blessings of life. Great, wonderful. In fact, I think we need to ask for more. There's that book that just came to my mind called The Prayer of Jabez. Has anybody read that? Great little book. And he basically said, "God, increase my territory," meaning give me more. And he said, "so that I may cause no harm," or if you invert it, "so that I can do good." Be a river, not a dam. Okay. Then the final point, or tip for the new year, and I'll leave you with this, is that when it's all said and done, surrender. Just let it go. You know, you got to show up and you got to do the work, and you got to listen, and you got to let go of the past, and you got to quit the narrative of other people. And it's like, you know, like the drill sergeant, "Come on, suck it up, believe in yourself, and get going." But at the end of the day, surrender and don't worry about the outcome. When I started this documentary 4 years ago, it scared the heck out of me. I got an investor, you know, the investor thing and this and that, and still scares the heck out of me, to be honest with you. I didn't know how it was going to get done. It didn't go anything the way I thought it was going to go. It took me twice as long. I can't tell you the number of detours and journey, but I finally had to get to this point where I just let it go. And somehow, I want to say magically, like it's this, you know, storybook thing, but somehow it got done. It got done. So, you know, get that intention, get the destination in mind, you know, pray, meditate, get your sights really oriented, take the journey, and realize it's not going to go the way that you thought it was. It's a journey. It's a step by step. It's a day by day. And at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about your journey. The Bible says an interesting verse. He says that my life is in Christ. It's no longer my own. It's this notion, this idea that when Christ redeemed us, and when he died, when he came and died and he ascended, and he opened up the roadway so that we could have the Holy Spirit in us, you know what? It's not our life anymore. And how many people think, "Oh God, how am I going to look? I'm going to be a failure. I, you know, did this thing." And I face that a lot. And I go, "Oh God, I just really screwed up on this one." But at the end of the day, it's not your life. And, you know, the final thought on that of surrendering: show up, do the work, live with lots of joy, and just give a lot of love to people. Okay, thank you.